Angela Merkel becomes the first Western leader to visit Beijing since protests began in Hong Kong. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, though, after another late night in Parliament, a three-month Brexit delay and the diminishing chances of a no deal have pushed the British pound to a five-week high against the euro. But worries are still rumbling about how prolonged uncertainty will impact business. Could future trade deals, then, hold the key to boosting a potentially weak post-Brexit economy? Today, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence will be in London for high-level meetings focused on expanding the economic relationship between the U.S. and the U.K. Independent economist Julian Jessop explains how future negotiations could work.
One of the first hurdles that needs to be cleared before the U.K. and the U.S. can do a trade deal is actually for the U.K. to leave the EU properly. So one of the small benefits of leaving without a deal is actually that we can start negotiating and implementing a deal with the US straight away. In the short term, that's not going to be enough to offset any damage there might be in trade between the UK and the rest of Europe, but it could still make a significant difference.
How quickly in reality then could a deal get done?
You know, ambitions of a big mega deal are probably going a bit too far. If we were to open up the entire UK agriculture sector to imports from the US, there would be concerns about some of the standards that we've adopted from the EU days being diluted. But I think there's plenty of scope for lots of mini deals in areas which are less controversial. So, for example, you know, manufacturing goods, some aspects of financial services and so on. And even within agriculture, I'm sure that, you know, US consumers would like more access to, you know, cheaper Scottish salmon and Scottish whiskey and things like that.
Can it even happen, though? Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, has said Congress wouldn't move forward if the U.K. leaves the EU without a deal. So in that respect, on the U.S. side, would there be a barrier to getting a deal done?
Well, I think that's a red herring. As I understand it, the concerns of the Democrats in the U.S., and indeed many of us, of course, is that leaving without a no deal would create a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic, and therefore threaten the Northern Ireland peace agreements. But when we leave, assuming what we do, provided that none of these scare stories come into place, in fact, there isn't a hard border, current peace continues, then I think those objections fall away. At the end of the day, of course, a trade deal is in the economic interests of both sides. I don't think the politics is going to get in the way, because by the time we're ready to do a deal, the politics would have been sorted out anyway.
Okay, Julian Jessop, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Asian markets rallied on news the U.S. and China will resume trade negotiations in early October. The Shanghai Composite Index closed about 1% higher. Japan's Nikkei rose more than 2%. Germany's DAX, meanwhile, is also trading higher, despite data showing factory orders fell 2.7% in July, which was much worse than expected. As Chancellor Angela Merkel grapples with a slowing economy at home, then, she heads off to Beijing today for 3 days of talks with business and political leaders about more economic cooperation. The visit comes a day after Hong Kong's chief executive formally pulled the controversial extradition bill that caused pro-democracy demonstrations to kick off 13 weeks ago. The leader of those protests appealed to Mrs. Merkel in a newspaper editorial this week, asking for her support. Ulrich Hoppe, director general of the German-British Chamber of Industry and Commerce, explains why this will be a tricky visit for Mrs. Merkel.
The Hong Kong protesters asked Merkel to actually voice their concerns and voice Germany's concerns about the developments in Hong Kong. But I don't think she will do this publicly. She might do this privately with some of the Chinese counterparts she will be talking to. Hong Kong is a gateway for German companies into the Chinese market. And of course, Merkel believes in the rule of law and democracy and so on. So this is part of her value system. It's part of our Western value system. And that's what we always argue about across the world. So I think that is of some concern to her. But I think the original idea of this business trip was really to foster the economic ties and talk about these issues which are there.
So it's not just the Hong Kong protests that are kind of throwing a hurdle at Mrs. Merkel. It's also the U.S.-China trade spat.
The U.S.-China trade spat is an issue, of course, also for German companies who export or produce in China, export to the U.S., so they are affected by that as well. And I think it's also the other bilateral issues in terms of intellectual property rights and how to operate in China as a foreign company. So there are many topics which need to be addressed, and that will be on her agenda as well.
We know Germany's economy is already flagging. Last quarter the economy was contracting. Today we got disappointing factory data. So from an economic perspective, what will Mrs. Merkel be looking for?
She will be looking for intensifying Chinese-German trade, and I think it is a very important trading relationship for China, but also for for Germany in terms of exports as well as imports. The balance of trade between Germany and China is give or take even. So the imports from China into Germany are slightly higher. But I think it's a very strong relationship. And of course, the Chinese market will continue to grow in the medium term. Therefore, it is important for Merkel to actually foster these ties so that there are more opportunities for German companies as well as Chinese companies in the other direction.
So what do you expect her to walk away with?
I think we might not see any tangible things she can walk away with, but I think she's keeping the relationship. She's been traveling to China more than 10 times during her chancellorship, so it is a very strong, trusted relationship. And I think she wants to build on that and then actually create some improvements for companies operating in China in terms of intellectual property law, etc. And she will work on that, and it will be a slow process.
Dr. Ulrich Hoppe, Director General of the German-British Chamber of Industry and Commerce, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Nissan's boss, Hiroto Sakaiwa, has admitted he and other executives received more pay than they were entitled to, 10 months after his predecessor and Nissan's former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, was arrested for understating his pay. Mr. Sakaiwa has denied any wrongdoing. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
Mr. Saikawa's admission will cause serious embarrassment for Nissan at a time when it's struggling to arrest a steep fall in profits, restructure its business, and rebuild its damaged relationship with its French partner Renault. An internal investigation, the results of which are due to be presented to Nissan's board next week, is understood to have found that some bosses received too much money under a scheme which linked payments to the company's share price. Nissan's management has been under heavy scrutiny since the arrest of the former chairman Carlos Ghosn and another senior executive Greg Kelly last year. Mr. Ghosn has since accused his former colleagues of conspiring to oust him because they disagreed with his plans for a merger between Nissan and Renault. Mr. Saikawa said he was not aware of the overpayments, made under a scheme which he claimed was introduced under the leadership of Carlos Ghosn. He's reportedly told the company he will return the excess payments.
Theo Leggett there. Finally, hate when your morning peace and quiet is disrupted. So does a couple in France who have filed a lawsuit against a noisy rooster named Maurice. 140,000 people signed a petition defending the animal's right to usher in the morning, and a court has just ruled he can crow on. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.